go. Yvette, you got me back there. She's going to get it worked out, I promise you. Hello, test, 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 testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, she's working on it. She's getting there. Is it getting louder? Is it louder, 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 louder? You can hear me now. There we go. She is, she's the mix master back there. She's just working it all out. Yvette is our little heavenly angel back there. So I didn't want to interrupt you either, guys. You guys are just having a good time with each other. I love it. But most importantly, you guys are building relationships and saying hi and high fives and, you know, all those fun things. And so that's what it's all about. That's what community is all about. That's why we're Thrive Community Church here. And so while we started our relationship series last week, and while we were kind of directing towards singles and how to be single, but we also hopefully some of our marriages were strengthened because of us learning how to become whole first as individuals in the Lord before trying to, ask our spouses to be the person that only the Lord can fulfill. And so when that's in place, we're doing a lot of good work for our marriages and our relationships because we really need to learn how to be whole ourselves in the Lord, understand our identity that Christ has given us so that we can walk confidently, love well, and serve well. And so it's going to be a flip today. We're going to talk a little bit about, we're going to talk directly towards marriages, but if you're single, you are going to have a great blueprint for how to be a future husband or how to be a future wife, because this is important because you can eliminate a lot of unhealthy expectations before you get into the marriage, because normally we struggle most with our unhealthy expectations that we bring into marriage. And so, yes, that is a real thing. Allie and I, my wife and I, dealt our biggest struggles were two things, probably a little bit of cultural difference, understanding, partially generationally different, but then the expectations that those came with, the unhealthy expectations that we brought into our marriage that really had to fall and crumble before we crumbled. And so we were in the process of crumbling, and we decided instead of our marriage crumbling, we're just going to let our unhealthy expectations begin to crumble. And so I went with a good friend of mine. He was here in October, Pastor Juan Martinez in Spring, Texas. He has a really popular podcast, and so he had me come down. He invited me to be a part of that. So if you watched it, if you haven't watched it, my testimony, if you want some really juicy secrets about me, you can watch my testimony right now, and you can hear the man behind the man or whatever, the story, the backstory, and you know, well, God must really be in his life because he came from chaos to Christ, literally. And hopefully you have a journey like that, and if not, you need to really embrace that because God is at work and he is the one who really brings you through all of those things. And so it's only the Lord that can do that, and no matter how I tried to fix myself, I couldn't do it. Always come up short, but the Lord and his principles, his ways, his values always bring us through to become a better individual because he already has the blueprint for our lives. And that's why this today is so important. He has the blueprint for the lives of a husband. He has the blueprint for the lives of a wife, the life of a wife. And he has called us to these things, to do great things together in collaboration in a marriage. Because to him, marriage reflects Christ and the church. And so there is a marriage of Christ and the church. And our marriage exemplifies to the world Christ and the church. And so when the kingdom principles are not of God's word are not applied, the kingdom is not at work. And when the kingdom is not at work, then marriages fail. When marriages fail, there's not really a good example of Christ and the church to the world. You see how that works? And so God's principles have to be embraced, upheld, and we have to surrender to those. Now, this week, I believe, is a release of our testimony with Pastor Juan and Real Talk, This Is Real, Real Life, whatever it is, podcast. And so you get to hear the juicy stuff. So, you know, if you like to gossip, then you can find some more juicy stuff to gossip about us about. And that's okay. I'm okay. I took it to the Lord, and he dealt with it. And so, you know, whenever you start ministry, the lie that keeps you from ministry, and this is a good note for any of you, is, oh, they're going to find out what you did. And so I decided, after wrestling with that for many, many, maybe months or years that kept me from walking in ministry, I just decided I'm just going to start telling people then, and that way they can't find anything out. Just tell them all. And so, you know, you get opportunity to give your testimony, and then it actually imparts faith and life into people and hope, and then you start realizing, dang, the enemy had me deceived, thinking that I wouldn't be accepted. And I've watched God do so many things and bring me close to so many people that are so abstract and so far away from my past lifestyle that now only by God can these relationships come together and be what they are. And I've just watched God do that. He's a miracle worker. I know he can do it in your life. I'm not an anomaly. I'm not special. I'm just another person who trusted God at his word and surrendered my junk to him and continued to allow him to work in me through every scenario. And so I really hope that that sets a good foundation for what we're going to talk about today, because I think your marriage can be even better because you probably have a great marriage, but I know there's some things that we can add to it to make it even better. And also want to set a preface with, please don't think about your spouse during this process, and please don't hold them hostage to the things that you're going to learn about their role in the marriage. Please do hold yourself accountable to your role as husband or as wife, and I promise you that will help your marriage be even better. So let's not hold each other hostage to things. But God does have a good foundation for how we can thrive in marriage, and so our relationships are important. As we talked about last week, relationships can be very hard, and they are very hard. And so they stay very hard until something changes. I would like to say that whenever you encounter God, something changes, and it's not him. And so sometimes our marriages are encountering God in painful ways, and something has to change, and it's not going to be him. So here we are. We're going to mess with the husbands a little bit first today, because a few weeks ago, whenever we were finishing our lordship message, I picked on the wives first, and you were very gracious. You didn't throw anything at me, and you didn't talk bad about me afterwards, so I really appreciate that. You guys are really good. Or at least not to my face. So it was so here we go. Number one, we're going to get into this. Husbands, lead with strength, not superiority. Oh, man, ultimate fail by me in the beginning. Lead with strength, not superiority. And so Colossians 3:19 tells us, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. And so we have to understand how to redefine leadership in marriage. One of the biggest misconceptions about biblical leadership in marriage is that it means authority over rather than responsibility for. When I get married, it's not about my authority over them, it's my responsibility for them. Many hear the word leader and you think dominance or control or superiority, and that's just not the case. Jesus gives us a different model. Jesus was led had a leadership of sacrifice. He led with sacrifice. He wasn't about self-serving power. And so in our worldly mentality, we are self-serving. We tend to want to control or to dominate or to lead from a higher place, which is superiority. But it's not so in the kingdom of God. In fact, everything turns upside down, which is why it's hard for us to understand the principles of God's word. So I have to flip everything out and upside down to begin to understand God. So Jesus didn't use his authority to be served. He actually used it to serve others. He carried responsibility not just for his people, but for their well-being, their growth, and their protection. So everything he did was to serve them this way. And so husbands, our leadership is not about power, but about purpose. So when we shift our mindset away from the power that we might have into the purpose in which I'm supposed to serve, then our dynamic changes, our approach changes, and then everything we begin to discover about our wives and families change. But what about strong leadership in marriage and what it looks like? We have to lead with emotional and spiritual strength. Lead with emotional and spiritual strength. And this is not easy for many of us. We want to think logical and just think, you know, this is reality. Though that's not the case. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. One version says, live with your wives with understanding. And most women, husbands will say, well, that's impossible. Well, it seems like it is impossible, but I promise you what he's trying to say is to approach your wife with an understanding spirit, one that seeks to understand. I don't understand you. Okay, that's fine. You don't understand me. It's obvious. We don't understand each other. But I'm going to make an effort to seek understanding and seek you with an understanding heart. That's what Peter's trying to say. He says, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs. Don't forget that you are co-heirs in this gracious gift of life. Don't forget you're not superior. She's not inferior, but don't forget, you're in this thing together, and so it's a learning how to work together, treating her with respect as the weaker partner. So nothing will hinder your prayers. It's interesting because he connects how we live with understanding, how we handle our wives with how he actually hears our prayers. So men, if it feels like I've just haven't been close to the Lord, I don't know that he's hearing me. Usually he's saying, start first with how you handle and understand your wife. Oof. Why, Lord? Don't know. It's his ways, not my ways. His ways are higher than our ways. We have to remember that. So weaker partner doesn't mean less valuable. It actually means a little bit more like fine china, needs to be handled with delicacy, needs to be honored, held with high esteem, because remember, God really is concerned about how you handle, how we handle our wives, how we treat our wives, how we deal with our wives. So treating them like fine china. Leading well means being emotionally engaged, and trying to live in consideration or in understanding of your wife is really fighting forward for the relationship to seek. I know that I am lost when it comes to trying to understand you. However, I want to understand what your emotions are telling you, what you're feeling, what's really behind those feelings, what it is that you have to add to the decision-making of what we're going to do, or, most importantly, husbands, what I need to be aware of when I make decisions for our family that's connected, that has an understanding of your feelings, has an understanding of your wants, has an understanding of your desires. So with my understanding of your desires, I can put in place a wise decision or a wise direction for us going forward. Nothing has healed my marriage more than the times when I've sat down, I've tried to understand what my wife is feeling, trying to articulate. Now she's a four, and so her emotion radar goes and then comes back down. And so I'm trying to read what is all that saying and what, you know, without, you know, what's behind all of that instead of what's coming out. Oh, okay, I think I get it. And then I try to make wise decisions going forward with that, right? And so it's trying to live with understanding. And so we pray with her. It's learning to pray with her, support her, be a source of peace and not pressure. See, I can be a source of peace when I try to understand what her feelings, her emotions are trying to articulate. I have to be considerate of what she's going through and what she's experiencing so I can bring out and filter through, here's some stuff I need to pay attention to, here's some stuff I just need to let fly, and ultimately, what is behind the scenes that I need to grab from this so that I can be aware of her needs as I make a decision going forward. This is very important for us. So weak leadership for us ignores those emotions. It says, oh, that stuff doesn't matter. Oh, you're just all worked up. Oh, it ignores those. That's weak leadership for us. Dismissing concerns or neglecting their spiritual growth, not praying over them, not asking for their prayer needs, not asking what's on their heart. Sometimes they just need somebody. Sometimes you need somebody. We need somebody to ask, what's on your heart? What's going on the inside? What's your mind thinking right now? We need that. Because we know oftentimes it's not right. We just need somebody to pull it out and let it be done away with. It just needs to get out of here and out there and wiped away. A place of no judgment. A place of, you know, you say whatever you want, but you know, I understand you're gonna spew a lot of things and it's gonna be safe. I'm not gonna take offense, nor am I gonna be upset about it or hurt. You just need a place to vent. We need that. Strong leadership for us looks like listening and encouraging and helping your wife grow in faith. I'm gonna be a part of that process. The other thing is lead with sacrifice, not selfishness. Lead with sacrifice. John 15:13. Jesus said, "No greater love has no one than this, that to lay down one's life for one's friends." There's times of laying down life. There's times of, okay, I've got to pause for a minute. I got to slow down before I run out of the house. I need to be aware of her needs. I need to look at her. I need to give her a kiss. I want to kiss like I'm a boyfriend and girlfriend. Can we just kiss like we're boyfriend and girlfriend for a little bit? Like, they may need that. I have to be reminded of that sometimes. You know, leading means putting her needs before your own. Being the first to apologize or forgive whenever things get stirred up. Sometimes by faith, one of us will tick the other one off, or we'll do something that hurt the other. And as a by faith is, listen, I'm mad at you, but I forgive you. I just want you to know I forgive you. And we don't take offense for that. And sometimes Allie will say, "Well, I forgive you more." And I was like, "Well, great, you probably need to." So in our forgiveness, we're battling a little bit, but we're trying to work towards forgiveness, right? We're still a little upset. It still comes out, but we're trying to forgive because we know if we don't, we're lost, and it's going to go south if we don't fight for forgiveness. And it is a fight for forgiveness because Satan hates reconciliation and forgiveness. It's doing the hard work to make sure she feels safe, loved, and heard. 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 She wants to feel heard. And she knows she's heard because you considered what the things that she said through your decision-making process. And you start making checkbacks based on what you actually listened to and heard. I can't tell you how many times I've deal with marriages going south because he won't listen. He doesn't hear me. He doesn't, you know. So heard. She wants to be heard, guys. So think about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. If Jesus can get down to serve, kneel down to serve, then men, we ought to stand up to serve our wives. Weak leadership in this area is expecting your wife to serve you without serving her. And this becomes a toxic trait too, because this is that dominance, that superiority, that lordship of authority in the house. Woman, make me a sandwich. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. Sounds great. Probably worked on a movie. Not working today. Maybe in the 50s. Not today. Leading by example in love and humility and serve them. Serve them in a way that you want the overflow to come back to you. Not out of manipulation, but out of, as a decision to serve. I'm going to live sacrificially. I'm going to lead the way in self-sacrifice in this marriage. So lead with vision, not just provision. Man, vision is important, very important to people, for all of us. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Another version says they're unrestrained. When people don't have vision for their lives, they don't know where they're going. They'll grab a hold of anything that's flying through the air because they have no structure, no clarity of direction. It's sad. Because these people are often have no boundaries. And this is when this happens, then households fail. Well, finances don't align. Scheduling don't align. There's not even conversation around these things. What I decide to do, what we decide to do on vacationing or date nights or date days or date lunches or with our kids, it's all misaligned. And so we live in frustration because there's no vision for where we believe God is leading our family. And that vision has to be repeated often. Our role as husbands isn't just to provide financially, but it's to cast vision of where we're going as a family, why we're doing what we're doing. Because the thermometer sometimes will come through the spouse, the wife, and it will feel, she will be a thermostat of why, of what's going on in frustration or emotion, and we don't understand their logic, they don't understand our logic, and it will cause frustration, but really, they're stressed trying to articulate I don't understand where we're going. This doesn't feel safe for me. Can you please recast vision for me? What's in your heart and why you're leading us the way, or where you're leading us, where you're leading us? And then I can live with peace and rest. And everybody knows when the wife is at peace, there is peace in the house. And every man said amen to that. Hallelujah. So are we leading with purpose? It's a heart check. These are self-awareness things. Again, if you're single, I can prepare you to be married. This is going to happen. If you're married, you can prepare, do a self-awareness check. Am I leading with vision? Am I articulating to my wife when I feel like she's complaining? Am I reading it as, oh, there's a misunderstanding? Oh, I haven't cast vision for her to have clarity for safety that I am leading us this way. Or I'm not communicating well enough that her needs have been heard. I feel like I understand what needs she wants to be met, and here's how my decisions are making that happen. This is very important for a marriage. Self-awareness. Are you helping your wife and family grow spiritually? I had a heartbreaking moment just this morning. Two things happened that the Lord was showing me. Whenever, almost two decades ago, this song, I Want to Sit at Your Feet and Drink from the Cup in Your Hand. When I first moved to Austin after giving my life to the Lord, that was a hot worship song. And I remember when Justin Cathcart, the worship leader of the young adults, began singing that, I broke. And I break every time I hear that song. But today, for the first time, I'm sitting here, the first time of my knowledge, my son stays through the worship set with me, and here he is raising his hands in worship, and I'm like, this is the first time ever. I am going to embrace this moment so dearly. So I have to ask, are we leading our wife and family spiritually to where they need to go? It's moments like that that take place. It's moments like that that you need during rough weeks, because following the Lord gets rough. And so you need those breakthrough moments. You need to see that, aha. You need to be reminded of your investment. What you have sown, you will reap. What you sow, you will reap. This is a spiritual principle, sowing and reaping. So your wife shouldn't be the only one driving spiritual growth. They need you sitting down and looking in the Word. They need you to talk about what you're seeing in God's Word and what you feel like He's saying. They need you praying with them. Allie and I are doing a devotion for a while, several months now. We've been doing a YouVersion devotion. So every morning we separately do our YouVersion devotion and then share in the little, talk about it section. We encourage each other, or we speak life over our marriage, or we speak life over our kids or the direction based on the content of the devotion itself. And so it helps, especially husbands. It helps you if you don't know what direction to go. Let the devotion choose the direction, and then you guys can talk about it in the section down there. But you don't have to be a pastor or a theologian. You just need to be real and present. You just need to be engaged and intentional on the direction of your family. Your spouse wants you to have a clear vision for the direction of the family. Back in November, my wife and I, while we're in Colorado Springs, we decided to take a day or two to start having clarifying vision for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, maybe 20 years down the road. And then we started talking about all the elements of how our marriage could be better. What are some things that we don't like or we do like? What are things we enjoy doing? What should we start saying no to? What do we want? What are some milestones that we want for these markers, these year markers I just told you? And so working backwards, we can start making decisions that will help us to obtain those goals. Then, because that's clear, that helps us make our financial decisions. That helps us make our business decisions. That helps us make our children's lives decisions. And then it also helps us to make our decisions. Helps us with our every area of life. So anyway, you get it. So weak leadership in this area will look like being passive, or there's no direction. And that's not a safety. That doesn't fulfill the safety needs of your spouse, the security needs of your wife. Just going through the motions or fleeing at the first sign of adversity. Listen, adversity is going to happen when you walk with the Lord, and your family needs you to learn how to be steadfast and endure through times of adversity and not be one who flees. If you flee and you lead them in a fleeing direction, they're eventually going to think, well, will they flee me when things get too tough for them? Actions speak louder than words. Strong leadership is setting the spiritual tone, making decisions with wisdom. They understand wisdom. With love and understanding your wife's needs, this is huge. I can't say it enough. But ensuring your marriage is moving forward. They need a progressive move forward. They need to be able to see some markers and milestones. They need to be able to look back and see there has been transformation. There has been change. There has been progression in our relationship. Mark 9:3, let's talk about the real test of leadership. Mark 9:35 says, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. You know, last man standing. I'm not going to let somebody else continue to serve while I'm sitting on the couch eating potato chips. That's not going to work. Not in this world. It's not the real world anymore. Am I creating a safe place for my wife to flourish? I've got to ask these questions. Because if I don't ask these questions, if we don't start asking these questions, then we don't grow in self-awareness. And until we change, nothing changes. Until we change, nothing changes. Until we ask these questions and we start to really answer those and be confronted in a healthy way, then I won't decide to change. Do I listen more than I speak? Or do I speak more than I listen? When she speaks, am I waiting to say what I want to say? Or am I patiently letting her know that she's being heard? These are dynamics that can strengthen or cause trial in our marriages. Am I leading by example in faith and integrity and selflessness? Let me tell you, she knows integrity. She's her little radar, integrity radar, just flies. And she will, in her stress, come against every area that's not leaning towards integrity when she feels afraid. So you had, I'm going to lean hardcore on integrity. Hello. We're having issues with our lighting back there, by the way. All right. I'm going to get off of you, husbands. And the wives didn't hear any of that, by the way. The Holy Spirit put them in a holy just, all things were confused to them. And now all things are going to be confused to the husband. And so you're not listening. You can take your nap. You can do whatever you doodle. Pete's over here doodling. I see him drawing airplanes and cars and trains, wiring diagrams for the building that he's going to wire this week. So wives, respect and encourage, not diminish. Respect and encourage, don't diminish. Colossians 3:18 says, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Now this word, I want to go over this word submit before we go too far, because I can lose people. I'm not going to do that. I don't like that word. Can't be in the Bible. I'm sure a man wrote that. Well, that's not the case. But it has a negative connotation. I get it. But this means, in a biblical submission, it means more of a partnership. Lean into partnership. It's about partnership. It means willingly support and honoring your husband's role in the marriage. I'm going to support and I'm going to honor you. I'm going to choose to, by faith, to support and honor you. And it's just as he is called to lead with a sacrificial love. I'm seeing your example of sacrificial love, and I know I'm here to honor and support you to help build that up. Submission is not about control, it's about cooperation. It's learning to not be in competition. Respect is not about blind obedience, it's about recognizing his value. I see his value, I see the value that God has given him, that God has placed him in, and I'm gonna even if it's a little bit that he understands, I'm going to lean into honoring that value that God has on his life for our marriage, and I'm going to strengthen that little microbite of value, of honor, so I can build that up. I want to focus on the good that God has inside of him, and I want to watch that flourish. I'm going to water that. I'm going to seed that. I'm going to plant into that spot right there. Because the world tells us that respect must be earned. And the man must prove himself before honor. Well, that's the world's way. In the kingdom, we extend trust. We give it whenever it's not even deserved. You extend trust and they earn mistrust. And then, because we're married, we forgive, we reconcile, and then we choose to extend yet again that trust. But biblical respect is different. It's not about whether your husband is perfect, because he's not. We're not. We won't be. And we need to be honored and seen for the things that we do right, or we start to do well. We need to be celebrated, not with, you know, this is not a participation trophy thing that, you know, some generations grew up in. I'm sorry if you were that generation. But that's not what we're looking for. But we are looking for recognition for what is done right over criticism for the things done wrong. And so we can cause things to manifest and grow when it's celebrated for what is right. Seeing his God-given role and choosing to support and encourage him in that as he grows, because that will help grow that area of his life that you want to sow, you want to reap from. So you're sowing and reaping as well. I want to sow into what I see. I'm going to try to ignore the things that I wish I didn't see, but I'm focusing more on reaping where I'm sowing. Okay, what biblical respect looks like. Proverbs 31, 11, and 12 says, her husband has full confidence. You know, there's nothing better than having a woman behind you to support you and to strengthen you. As you want to know a man who's walking around in confidence? Well, behind him is a woman who is speaking life and supporting and speaks highly of him, whether he's around or not. That's a confident man. He lacks nothing in her and lacks nothing of value. He's got it all. She brings... And that doesn't have money connected to it, by the way. Could be broke, dirt poor, can't pay the bills, but man, their marriage is strong. She speaks highly of him. She honors him, and he is just confident and oblivious to anything else. I mean, just, but hey, the marriage is strong. I'm sure everything else changes, but I'm giving you perspective. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She learns how to condition her emotions and her thoughts, her expressions, and she conditions them in such a way to where she's lifting up and not doing harm. A godly wife's role is not passive, it's powerful. This is a powerful role to play in the marriage right here. Wife's words, actions, and attitudes can either empower her husband to step into his God-given role or discourage him from even trying. Respect doesn't mean silence, it means support. It's believing in his leadership and encouraging his growth, because he is growing, wives. He is growing. We are growing. We have a lot of battles that we face. It's speaking life instead of tearing him down. It's choosing to be his biggest cheerleader, not his biggest critic. And both can be tough. What respect is not is ignoring problems or unhealthy behavior. Conversations have to be had. It's not suppressing your voice or your opinions. They need to be heard. It's not blindly following without thought or discussion. Thought and discussion must be interacted with and trusted from there. What respect is choosing to encourage instead of criticize. You know what? I'm just going to focus on the good things. I'm going to encourage those things. The more we do that, the more we celebrate and speak into those things, the more you're going to see it. What you want to see repeated, celebrate. You want to see it again, celebrate it. You want to see it more, celebrate it. And then give him something a little bit more. Trusting God's work in your husband, even when he's growing, because he's growing. Creating an atmosphere where he feels safe to lead, fail, because failing is an option. He needs to fail and not be criticized. He needs to be able to fail, and you say, I see what you're doing. I see the growth. I see what you're going after. Don't give up. He needs that. He needs you speaking life over him. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and it do. Deuteronomy says the same thing. In Deuteronomy, it says, so choose life. Literally, God brings it down to a choice. Sure, you can choose death and speak death over your family and marriage, and you can wonder what's wrong with it, or choose life. Choice. That's the best life, choice of life right there. Just choose to speak life. So your words have the power to build up or tear down. What are they doing? And there's reasons of overwhelming thoughts that we have as husbands. And most every man has this thought, and it sounds like this: do I have what it takes? Do I have what it takes? This is this innate thought down deep below, and some overact and overprotect and over display to show they do. And some address that answer in the Lord, and they watch the Lord do the work within them, and they become men of God. So instead of saying things like, you never do it right, you never do anything right, say, I see how hard you're working, and I appreciate you. Ooh, you want to speak to the heart of a man with honor and cooperation? I see how hard you're working. And instead of, you don't lead well enough, try, I believe in the man God is shaping you to be. That's how wives can cast vision. I believe in the man that God is shaping you to be. We need to see and be seen. We need to know that you see it. It's hard work for us. It's not natural for us as men. It's not normal to be godly men, God-fearing, to be humble and surrendered. The world has trained us and taught us and even beat us into other things that look nothing like it. Encourage, don't compare. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. Gosh, the worst thing you can do is say, well, I wish you were like so-and-so's husband. Oh, Lord, you want to see somebody give up right there. Why can't you be more like, or if only you worked as hard as, or if only, I wish you were more like, no. No, please don't do that. Comparison is toxic. It makes a husband feel like they're never going to be enough. So they'll believe that and shut them down to say, well, then why even try? If that's what you're going to see and say, if that's what you believe, then why should I even try? And it's counterintuitive, counterproductive. So celebrate what he is instead of wishing for what he is not. It's looking for the gold and speaking into it, sowing into it until you're reaping the reward, the harvest. Instead of comparing, pray. Are you praying for him in that area? Are you trusting God to do the change and the transformation? Are you getting words from God to speak into his heart? Instead of complaining, encourage. Instead of focusing on what I'm complaining about, I want to encourage the things that I'm actually seeing and I would love to see more of. Trust his leadership even as he's growing, because as we said, he is growing. Trusting his leadership doesn't mean following blindly. It means praying for him instead of nagging him. It means giving him grace when he's still learning, because he's learning. It means speaking life over him instead of pointing out every flaw. Because in the midst of having an awareness for the safety and the protection and the provision of all of our families, there will be over things that are mistaked, overlooked, forgotten, left behind, mishandled. And instead of focusing on those little things, there needs to be an honor and appreciation and encouragement for all the things that they are stepping into, that we are stepping into. If you want your husband to lead, you have to create space for him to do so. It can't be competition. If you're trying to over-decide and over-lead, rather than allowing him and giving him your needs and to let him lead, he will back down and say, if you're going to do it, then do it. I won't even worry about it. And you'll produce the very husband that you never wanted. A husband who feels like he's always wrong will eventually stop trying. Be his partner, not his competitor. Marriage is not a competition, it's a team. Whenever Allie and I feel like we're in our best season ever. But I know last year and the year before, I'm telling you, it felt like no matter what I did, she was trying to compete with me. It's like, we are not in competition. How many times did we have that conversation? When I start to lead, and I start to give a direction, it was just like, we are not in competition. Everything's fine. It's going well. But it's a security. It's a safety. It's a trust. Sometimes there's history that started way before you and your spouse even got together. There's freedom issues there. What kind of home did they grow up in? What kind of environment, what kind of cultural environment were they in? What were their safety measures, security? What was their home life look like? What were some past relationships that they went through? These things play a part in how you guys do life together as well. And so these things have to be, we have to grow an awareness of those. So I think you kind of got a good idea of these different roles. But as we really start to apply them to ourselves, husbands being this godly husband, this husband at least trying to lead and cast vision and serve well and be sacrificial and yet be humble, be human, and a wife who is seeing the gold, speaking into the gold, extracting the gold, truly using the law of sowing and reaping, I think we'll see a transformation in our marriages, in ourselves, in our values, in the value of our spouse. Because we have to learn how to live with one another in understanding. And seeking to understand means I've got to get outside of my realm, my understandings, and go and understand how they function. Philippians 2, 3, and 4, I'm going to finish here, says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. So when I want to fight, I want to argue, man, I really need to have some checks in place that catch me. Check myself before I riggedy wreck myself so that I can reassess what I'm about to do and how I'm approaching this situation in the marriage. Husbands, if I can do anything, seek understanding, seek what they're saying through the emotion that you're feeling, they're portraying. Truly let them know they're being heard. Start to dissect and articulate back, here's what I feel like you're saying. Is this correct? Am I misunderstanding? Is this what you're wanting me to be aware of going forward? And then take that with wisdom and start making the decisions from there. But keep them in conversation as you move forward. You got to have a staff meeting with your spouse. You got to have a team meeting. Hey, here's some things. Here's some progress on this. They're going to wonder. They were not sleeping. They won't be able to sleep well until you get some answers or you give them some input or here's some updates. And so, and here's another thing that helps my marriage, and I don't always do it well. When good news happens or bad news happens, don't tell anybody else until you tell them first. And I heard a good amen. Let me just pray. Okay, let's stand up. Lord, we just thank you so much for marriages. We thank you so much that we get the honor of being able to display Christ and the church to a lost and hurting world. And man, this is a lost and hurting world. So Lord, I pray that you help us to be the husbands that we're called to be the wives that they're called to be, to truly embrace this law of sowing and reaping, speaking into what we want to see and overlooking the things that we don't want to see. Father, truly may there be this principle that we know it is to our glory to overlook offenses. And so, Lord, today let us overlook and help us to strengthen us to overlook offenses and sow and speak in to the life and the goodness and the growth of one another. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.